Oh, that's music to my ears.
Isn't that nice to hear? You know what that means, right?
It means the weekend is upon us.
Yeah. It's Friday. It's the end of the work week. Everybody gets a couple, not everybody, but a lot of people get a couple of days off. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. This is WGN. We're at 312-981-7200. Feel free to call or text at any point during the show. First of all, I know that yesterday was a very difficult day for you, and only talk about as much of it as you want to.
Nothing.
You know,
right
what?
Now.
Do you not want? Do you prefer not to? A little tough. Can we just say what happened? Because a lot of people were interested, called in and texted in. Is it okay to just say what happened, or would you prefer we didn't?
No, we can. I put my dog Tiki down.
Yeah.
And it sucks. That's all I can say.
Oh, Wendy.
He'd been ailing for quite a while. You'd talk about that over the last couple of months.
Yeah, it was a weird kind of little situation. Right before my knee surgery, Tiki, we thought, had maybe a stroke. He fell down the back stairs, so we took him to the vet. Turns out he had this skin infection. He had doggy MRSA, which, you know, I'm going to get my knee replaced. They're scared about bacterial infections.
Sure.
It's like, this is bad timing.
Yeah.
So he was put on this really strong medication that we as humans had to put gloves on to give to him.
Yeah.
And it really took its toll on him. Some of the side effects were hind quarter weakness. So his back legs just pretty much stopped working.
Oh, no. That's
awful. It progressively went downhill. He was on anti-inflammatories. He was on pain pills. He was going on 12 years old. We adopted him, so we're not sure, 12 or 13.
Right, right.
76 pounds, went down to 66 pounds, lost a lot of muscle tone. He just wasn't doing well since November 30th when he fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
So the big sucky decision in your life as a pet owner is you have to play God and decide when it's time to put them down. And it sucks. That's all I can say.
Sure,
it sucks.
Of course. Yeah.
My boys feel like their childhood was ripped away from them because that was their most important years, as they put it.
Yeah.
That they had Tiki. And it this morning was very hard for me to come downstairs, your usual routine to make coffee. And it's like, hey, Teeks, there is no Teeks.
Right.
So
right.
It'll get better. That hole in your heart fills up. And I know a lot of people are going through it. I know Steve has an ailing dog. I know there's a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Wendy.
Yeah, it's really, truly part of the family. And Bill, I know you're not a huge pet lover and everybody blows you. I almost swore.
Go ahead.
Blows you crap for not liking animals. You
right.
do like animals. You just don't want to share your home with them.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine.
But I know that everything you just said,
dog.
I get it, was a part of your family. I understand. Sure. I totally understand that. And I know that yesterday was probably one of the roughest days you've ever had to go through.
It was. I mean, I had a cat, Declan, that I put down. I got to tell you, please, if I can give any tip out there to anyone, find a vet. Thankfully, our vet, Dr. Gibbs, loved him. He treated Tiki. He treated Tiki with love. He tried so hard. He told me flat out, this sucks, you guys. It just did not go the way we wanted it to.
I know.
He came out to our house to do it. If you can find a vet to come out to your house.
I didn't know such a thing existed. I thought you had to take him in somewhere.
Which, think about it. You got a dog who's, poor Jimmy Mack had to carry this dog up and down the stairs to walk him for the last week or two. He started what they say knuckling. He couldn't use his back paws, and so like an ape walks on their knuckles.
Oh.
That's how Tiki started walking, and then he'd stop, and Jim would pick him up, and he would snap at Jim because he was in pain.
Yeah.
And at some point, it's like, are we keeping him alive for us because we don't want to let him go?
Oh, that's a tough decision.
It sucked, but if my only ounce of advice out there is, first of all, take time to grieve, but most importantly, try and find a vet who can come to your house where you don't have to stress the dog or cat out going there to put them down.
Right, right.
The only bad thing is this dog trusted me, and I invited someone in my house to basically come and kill him.
But you can't, I mean,
that's I know.
You can't look at it that way. I mean,
you
did what was necessary.
And, Michael and Dylan, 18 and 15 years old, Jimmy Mack, all of us.
How old is he?
He's going to be 49, actually, in a couple weeks. So I feel bad Tiki didn't make it to his birthday party.
Yeah.
We all knew we did the right thing, but it still just sucks.
Yes.
That's all I can say. And thank you to the hundreds of people who gave me condolences. And I know I'm not the only one to go through it. But boy, it just sucks. And That's it.
And you'll get through it. I know it's tough, but
and thanks. Like I said, I know you're not a pet lover, but Bill was just so sweet and understanding yesterday. So
don't worry.
Anyone who blows him crap for not having a pet, it's just you don't choose to share your home with one. I, in fact, did.
No,
so
I know.
That's the only difference.
It'll be okay. You'll be okay. I know it's hard to believe right now. But
I know it really is, but yes. So thank you very much for your condolences and good luck to everyone going through it. Because a lot of people commented, "Boy, I'm right behind you." It's
sure.
You almost pray for them to go in their sleep so you don't have to decide.
Mm-hmm. But that makes sense. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about other things. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Do you moonlight as a copywriter for this?
I wish I was responsible for this one, because that's some good stuff right there. A lot of automotive references. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder back after a one-day bereavement.
Yeah.
You lost your dog. Very sad. Very, very sad. But in an effort to get your mind off of things, you surprised yourself. You watched something you didn't think you were going to watch.
Yeah, I was trying to get my mind off the dog, so Michael and I watched The Shape of Water, and I really, you know, I'm like, I don't care about the creature from the Black Lagoon. I don't need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that movie.
I had a feeling you would. I know you were very, very apprehensive in seeing it, but it's a great movie, isn't it?
You do have to suspend belief.
A little bit.
Which you don't like to do in a movie, which I'm surprised you liked this.
Unless it's people falling in love with Aqualife. Then I'm if there's a fish involved... You know, I consider The Incredible Mr. Limpet to be the greatest love story of all time. You know that. So whenever there's a fish and a woman falling in love, I don't know. I'm a sucker for it.
All I got to say, and God, what did Michael say as we were watching it? It's like, oh, my God, that fish is built.
Yeah. He was a buff fish.
That's what he said.
Did he say
this
buff
fish is buff?
Yeah. He took care of himself. I don't know what he did, but he took care of himself.
I just...
I think he did laps. He swim laps.
He probably did some laps,
right.
Steve. I wouldn't count that out.
He creeped me out. At first, I kind of like...
But that's how love works, Wendy. Sometimes you see somebody...
Chip never creeped me out.
You'll be creeped out by them, and then you say, but now I'm in love with them. Well, how quickly do our fortunes turn?
You know, I have a running thing that is just so ridiculous with my silly dog, Tiki. It's like every time I see an animal, regardless of what it is, if it's a penguin or a moose or a field mouse, I always say to my family, it looks like Tiki.
Oh.
And they all roll their eyes and say, yeah, whatever, Mom. And in fact, if we see an animal and I don't say it, they all look at me and wait for me to say it. So, of course, as we were watching it, I just look at Michael. I go, that does not look like Tiki.
Not even a little bit. No.
No,
not even a little bit. You know, it's interesting. They showed Michael Shannon, who's one of the actors from the movie. You remember Michael Shannon in the movie?
Which one was he?
He was the chief bad guy.
Oh, my God, I hated him.
Yeah. But it shows you what a great actor Michael Shannon is, because he's such a nice guy. Well, there were pictures of Michael Shannon watching the Academy Awards at the Old Town Ale House all by himself. See that?
Yeah.
This is a guy who a year ago, I believe, was nominated for an Academy Award. He was there. You know, he's right in the dead center of the festivities a year ago. And this year, because he's doing a play in town, he's directing a play.
Oh, he couldn't be there?
He couldn't be there. He had to stay local. So they just show him by himself watching the Academy Awards in a bar.
And he was up for an award?
Last year, I think he was.
Because he should have been up for an award this year.
For this one, right.
I'm telling you, I mean, right when he came on the screen, Michael and I are like, God, I hate
this
guy. And then we both looked at each other at the same time and said, I think we're supposed to hate him. He was so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, the woman who plays the main woman in this, Eliza, is that her name?
Yes, I think so.
She... As I watched, became...
Sally Hawkins is the actress, but the character, I believe, is Eliza, right?
And she's not... Yes, she's not... And please don't take this the wrong way. She's not this, you know, stunning beauty. She just isn't. And as I watched that movie, she became unbelievably beautiful to me.
Oh.
It's just...
I think that's one of the benefits of falling in love with a fish man, is that you somehow become more beautiful.
Well, because you're standing next to a fish man.
Well, you're looking through water.
Yeah, that's true too, Steve.
You know the guy who never gets enough credit is Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, he's always good.
Was he
always
her friend?
Good, yes.
Yeah.
He was awesome. Everybody, I'm telling you.
He's the guy, he was originally the dad in 6 Feet Under.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he's making movies left and right, and he's always good. Remember? I mean,
yes.
I guess I can say spoiler alert, although this was 14 years ago.
Right. So really, is that long ago already?
So he dies in the first episode of 6 Feet Under, but he's still featured throughout the show, much like This Is Us,
Jack Pearson.
They keep showing flashbacks where he existed, so...
Well, he was, I mean, really, it was super stellar. All I'll tell you is there was just, the whole movie featured green.
Well, not the whole movie, but most of the movie. They did this thing with their color palette. Like when Michael Shannon went home, it was all oranges and yellows. Like they went out of their way to give you mood coloring throughout the movie. It was mostly blues and greens when the sea creature was around. But then depending on what was going on, they would change the colors and really overemphasize for mood what was going on in that character's mind.
I saw green everything. There was green in her apartment.
Yeah.
A green type of food somebody enjoyed. It was a green...
Green River. They were drinking Green River.
Cars. I mean, everything was green until a moment.
Dallas Green, the former general manager of the Cubs, had a great part in it. He was great.
And then all of a sudden, the green turned to something else. It was just really, really good. Octavia Spencer was really good.
Have you seen any of this guy Benicio del Toro's movies in the past?
I don't know that I have. What has he done?
No, Guillermo.
Guillermo del Toro. Who did I say? Benicio.
It's Guillermo del Toro. The actor.
Right. Different del Toro.
I've seen more of his work.
What about
Benny the Bull?
He was in it. He was so good in it, too. You want to see Pan's Labyrinth is the one you need to see.
I'm writing it down.
Because it's the best, in my opinion, it's the best fairy tale that a kid cannot see. You know, it's
really?
Like a story that you say, well, that's a fairy tale. That's the kind of thing. And actually, I think you could say that about this movie, too, The Shape of Water. It is a fairy tale, but it's a sexy fairy tale. Yeah. Pan's Labyrinth is not sexy. It's horrifying.
This is more like Mother Goose.
Yes. Yes, it is. Did you write that Bulls promo with the Pistons?
Because
that's very, very good. But overall, you recommend it because I heard...
I was excited about all the movies this year and watched most of them, getting most of the screeners from the Screen Actors Guild. I should have voted. I didn't for the SAG Awards because I didn't watch them and I don't think it's fair.
Oh, wow.
I just don't
good
think it's fair.
On you.
So every year I really swear to watch them, and I did this year just late.
Yeah.
So next year I'm going to be on top of it,
and
I'm going to
vote in. I don't think it's too late. Send your vote in.
But this was the only one that I was like, the more I heard about it, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't need to see the fish man.
But
I don't
in the
really
end,
care.
You came out, you happy
super
you did.
Worth watching it. And we were going to watch Call Me By Your Name, but at that point I was just kind of movied out and sentimentaled out. So.
Oh.
We watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia just to make things better.
Did you see they're having a Call Me By Your Name sequel?
Yeah.
They're making already in the show the fun about Call Me By Your Name, too.
Did he write the copy?
Steve may have written the Bulls.
No, it was a big Twitter run, like alternative names for the sequel.
That's so funny.
Well, I loved it, and I think people should watch it. It really, it's really good. You really can escape what's going on in your real life as you're immersed in this movie.
Yeah,
and that's what I needed.
I didn't like it.
You
Steve
didn't.
Did not like it.
Not that much.
No.
The fish man. He was buff.
Boy, was he.
He's just jealous.
Yeah,
that's why he didn't like it.
There's some jealousy. All right, let's take a break. Steve will give you the news, and then there's a lot more show. Stay here. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right. It is a beautiful sunny day. It is Friday, and I'm telling you, I am getting very anxious to plant things because I have a new knee now, so I can bend down. And with us right now is Tony Abruscato, who is here because the garden show, the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, is going on. You are president and show director. Thank you for coming back.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Spring is springing.
It is springing. It will be.
It hasn't sprung yet.
No. But it will for the next week over at Navy Pier. We'll definitely be in full bloom.
We have tickets to give away also, keep listening.
Remind me, Tony, the show goes March 14th through...
Wednesday, March 14th through Sunday, March 18th.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that will actually be a 5-day show versus a 9-day show.
What happened there?
You know what? It's actually an opportunity for us to provide a fresher show.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the shows around the world are actually 5 days long. There were very few that are 9. And so trying to keep the plants alive for 9 days and doing all these things. We have actually, though, added more... educational classes, more gardens and things. So we'll have the same amount or more that we had in 9 days that we'll have in five.
Really?
And what I was telling somebody is that, like, we have the beautiful tulip garden.
I love tulips. Doesn't your wife like tulips too?
She's a fan, yeah.
Yeah. And so we have, so normally we have like 2,000 tulips that they grow. Yeah. But they grow 4,000 because midweek they have to take out all the old tulips and put new ones in.
Freshen them up.
But now this year they actually grew 3,500 tulips. We'll have 70 different varieties all on display at one time because the last Wednesday through Sunday. And just like the azalea, I brought in some azaleas, they'll last through that whole time. So it'll be a much fresher show and an opportunity for people to kind of get in and out.
All right. So the theme this year, Flower Tales, is that it?
Flower Tales. Every garden has a story to tell.
And I just told you, Tony brought us both some azaleas. You can bring some home if you want to keep them yourself. Or you
can give
them to
keep them for myself.
Okay.
Yep.
With my dog passing away, I've never done this, but we're getting his ashes. We have a statue in the backyard that kind of resembles Tiki, and the boys wanted to bury the ashes.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's in the middle of a flower garden, like a wildflower garden, and I'd like to put the azaleas there. So it is true, Flower Tales, every garden does have a story to tell, like that or many others.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things when I bought the Flower and Garden Show, people would come up to me all the time and they would tell me their story. My grandmother and my aunt and my mom and I used to come, and then now I'm bringing my daughter. Or I think Mark Schulman would tell me that Esther and Eli would take him to the Flower and Garden Show, and there was a glass blower there, and every year they would take home a glass flower from the show. And so all these memories and people sharing it. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to do something with it. So we ended up meeting up with the folks from Bernie's Book Bank. And they're a nonprofit organization focused on book ownership to at-risk kids in the Chicagoland area. And this year, they'll distribute 4 million books out to them. And so it was a perfect time in saying, they're doing all the books and we're doing literacy and all of these things. So we came up with Flower Tales, Every Garden Has a Story to Tell. And then our designers have jumped on the bandwagon. So Subaru's doing the Wizard of Oz garden. Aww. We have a Harry Potter garden. We have Alice in Wonderland. There's one that's doing a trilogy, The Hobbit, Secret Garden.
Is there a Star Wars one?
There is not a Star Wars one.
There will be in our backyard this year. You've just given Jimmy Mac a really good idea. There'll be an AT-AT walker in the middle of it.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's stunning. I'm guessing, Tony, that if you're a flower enthusiast or a plant enthusiast and you live in the Midwest, it's very different from if you lived somewhere where the weather is pleasant all year round. You have to approach it pretty differently if you live in the Midwest, don't you?
You really do, and you have to be careful about when you're planting and what you're planting.
Yeah.
You know, the big thing for Chicago is, you know, we've got this weird weather going on, you know, the hot and the cold and back and forth. But even if it starts to stay warmer, it's not time to plant. Typically, Mother's Day is the frost day for
really? I wait till Memorial Day actually to plant my tomatoes.
Yeah, a lot of people do that and doing that later time. So you want to be careful of what you're doing. Even like these azaleas, you might find in the winter that you put some burlap around them or put a little covering over them because they tend to be a little bit more susceptible to the colder weather.
Yeah.
And so those are the types of things that we have to do. But what's interesting is that Chicago, that one of the big box retailers shared with me that their Chicagoland stores, their flower department, outsold the entire southern region of the United States. So even though we're, you know, we can only garden really May to September, May to October, November, we are a gardening city.
So I'm trying to figure out why that would be. Is it just because there's a bigger appreciation because our season is shorter here? So when we do see flowers, we get excited. Is that what it is?
And we want to get outside.
Right. We want to get outside because, you know, first night stay, all of a sudden there's, you know, 800 people on the lakefront running and things like that. And
so
people want to get out. The other thing is that oftentimes, you know, if you're here, we're planting annuals, a lot of annuals. Yeah. So every year you're coming out and buying them. You know, in Arizona, you know, I love it in Arizona, but, you know, you buy a cactus and there, you know, there it's it. And about 100 years later, it's 2 feet bigger. So, you know, so with
us,
we
sound so glamorous, Tony.
Oh, yeah. You know, here it's glamorous.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know, here we have the glamour. Yeah. But it's really fun. And I was talking with someone, you know, kind of my stories is, you know, I had a vegetable garden when I was a kid. I shared that with you a couple times ago when I was here. And, you know, instead of cutting all the lettuce, I pulled it all out because I didn't know any better. And And then over the time of the course of owning this show, I've learned so much about flowers and plants and yeah. And the care for them. And it's really something amazing. And so we focus the show on education. So we want, you don't have to be an expert. You can be an expert gardener and, yeah. and come to the show, but you don't have to be. So people come to me all the time. Oh, I don't go to the flower and garden show because I don't know how to grow anything. And so, well, we have 120 classes and all these professionals there that can teach you how to grow something.
Right.
We have a container gardening class. I love it. We call them potting parties. And people can come in.
It's legal now.
It's legal now. Yeah. And you can grow your own. And mm-hmm. we'll teach you how to grow it at the Flower and Garden Show. But you take home your first container of the season. But it, you know, you can just learn how to do it. So if you don't have that green thumb, you can get one by us.
I have never had a green thumb. My whole life I had silk plants in every apartment or house I've been in because you have to water them. When you plant something outside, it's Mother Nature's more forgiving because she helps you water it when it rains.
Right.
She gives you sunshine. So don't think you can't do it. I really still have silk plants in my house. But outside of the house, it's fun to kind of be artistic and design the colors you like. There, you can do whatever you want. There's no, you have to use this flower. It's whatever you like.
Right. And people always ask me, what should I grow? You know, or I talk about, I have a balcony here in the city and the, you know, oh, what should I grow on my balcony? And that same thing, what do you like? You know, I always say my, one of my favorite colors is orange. So I have a lot of orange flowers out there. I like mojitos. So I grow mint and, you know, and I like caprese salad. So I grow basil out there. And so you do that. One of the things that we're seeing though, which is really interesting, is that as society changes and the millennial and the iPhone and, you know, all the smartphones, is that the growers are hybridizing and changing the makeup of some of the plants. And so the plants are now have easier care and maintenance. Mm-hmm. There's a whole line of roses out and endless summer hydrangeas. And
They bloom all summer long.
And we have a big hydrangea, Bailey's is out with the endless summer hydrangeas. And so now it's even easier. And there's an easy care rose, easy elegance rose that if, you know, people always say, I love roses, but they're really hard to grow.
Yeah.
Well, now they've come out with these new ones that aren't so hard.
Used to be in the old days, you had to cover up your roses in the wintertime with these styrofoam domes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Now you don't have to do that.
Not so much. And, you know, especially our winters have been a little milder.
Yeah.
We were talking about the other day. I said, I remember when I was a kid, it was like 50 below zero and there's, you know, 3 feet of snow on the ground
and
all the time.
And you walk 20 miles to school.
Both,
I know.
Yeah, uphill.
Yeah. I don't know how it's possible.
And for some reason, I played the baritone, and so this thing weighed about 900 pounds. I couldn't play the flute. I had to walk.
Oh, fun.
And we were a half a block short of being able to take the bus.
Oh, really?
So I had to walk like the 8.5 blocks to school because you had to be 9 blocks away to take the bus. And so
that's a good time.
You still playing the baritone, by the way?
No, not anymore. But
nah.
My mom played it before me back in the 50s when she was drum major of the band, Lakeview High School.
Oh, yeah. Every instrument tells a story.
That's
doesn't it?
Wendy. Nicely done. Tony Abruscato's here, president and show director of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Visit them on Twitter at Chicago Flower, and chicagoflower.com is the website. Correct?
Everything for us is Chicago Flower.
We have tickets to give away, so stick around for that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
When I see the sunshine outside, I can't wait to get out in my garden and start planting. I am a big perennial lover because it's less work. They just keep coming back every year, but there's a lot to choose from. And it's all happening at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. The president and show director, Tony Abruscato, is here with Bill and I today. And Tony, you were saying that this year's theme is flower tales. Every garden has a story to tell. And you mentioned Harry Potter, and it's not necessarily all involving movies, is it?
No, it's not. It's not all about movies or books. We actually have a few stories, a few gardens that are telling stories about things happening. NPL is one of our large sponsors. They're actually having a garden that's all about the diverse neighborhoods of Chicago. And we went to some Chicago public schools and had them paint the planter boxes that the trees in their garden will be placed in. And so each one of those planter boxes will tell a different story in a different neighborhood. And then we're working with an organization called Eversight, and they work with the Oregon donor program and the tissue donor program here in Illinois and across the country, but here in Illinois. And they're helping people regain sight through education and organ donor, tissue donor. And so they're building this beautiful garden with all of, it's a plant, it's called Sinetti, and they almost look like a daisy, but they're bright pink and purple, and they're variegated with white, and we have twin waterfalls and water features.
Wow.
And so they're coming together and they're telling the story about how they're helping people regain their sight. So it doesn't just
and
have
a lot
to be
look
the,
at
and a lot
garden.
To look at, and that's what you come in and doing. And those are new builders for us. Santa Fe is doing all the brickwork, and then Wild Creek is doing all of the water features. So we've got a lot of new
that's
builders
excellent.
This year.
That's yeah. excellent. You said a little while ago, Tony, with the tulips, I think you said you added 70 varieties of tulips at the
right.
the show this
yep.
year. I didn't know there were 70 varieties of tulips. Does that lead the league in the flower world, or is there some flower that has even more varieties than that?
You know, the 70 varieties of tulips are just a drop in the bucket.
Is that right?
It's,
yeah.
it's what we can grow and have space for.
Yeah.
But yeah, people don't realize it's one of the things we try to do with the show when I talked about education.
Uh-huh.
So we're bringing in 26 different varieties of hyacinths. We've got 70 varieties of roses. We have 6 different varieties of azaleas. We have 400 azaleas. And I joked with you, we now have 398 because I brought you guys two.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for that.
So there'll be 398 at the yeah. show. But the idea is to show people exactly that education, that, hey, there's all these different varieties that you can participate in. So it's just not a red rose. There's a Julia Child rose. And I just forgot his name, the guy that landed the boat on the Hudson, Scully.
Yeah.
There's a Scully rose.
A Sully Sullenberger?
There's a Sully Sullenberger
what?
Rose. And there's an Elizabeth Taylor rose and a Brad Pitt rose.
I bet that
rose
one's purple or violet because
yeah.
of her eyes.
Is there a Pete rose?
Why not?
He's banned from the flower show.
For gambling.
Lifetime banned from
gamble?
The flower show.
No, he can't gamble on flowers. What's wrong with him?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a ton of varieties. Are you good enough to where you can see that many kinds of flowers and narrow it down, or is that impossible?
Well, you know what? The big joke is one day I was out in my yard in Michigan, and I looked at my partner and I said, you know, I want to get some more of those red ones for this area. And he's like, oh, you know, is that the Latin name there?
The proper
the
term.
Yeah, yeah, you know, nice yeah. going, show director. You want the red ones. So, yeah, you know, I can tell there's differences, but you know, I can't tell you all the names. That's why I always tease Wendy. I think she knows more about gardening than
yeah.
I do.
Maybe.
I tell you, I am so into allium. These are the little space
yeah.
things. It looks like just one little stalk and then a big softball-sized globe on the top
right.
of it
yeah,
in
yeah,
purple,
yeah.
usually.
Usually. There's purple and white, and there's the there's also a giant one that has a really big head on it, a bigger ball. And so we have a bulb vendor that's from Holland. And so last year I bought alien bulbs and planted them out at the house in Michigan. They all came up. And so I had purple, white, and then the big Gigantor ones that were really cool. So that's the other thing too. At the show, you can buy all of these things. You can buy plants and seeds and bulbs. And the cool thing is that from a geeky thing, you know, and is, you know, the Roomba that you have in your house
yeah,
where
the
it automatically
vacuum.
Vacuums.
Yeah.
Well, there's a company that we're going to have at the show.
The Plant-ba?
We're going to
the Plant-ba.
They came up with it. It's the auto mower.
Oh yeah.
And it is basically the Roomba for your yard.
Oh, wow.
And it will every day or whatever the time frame will go out and cut your grass. It'll Roomba around the grass.
Oh my God.
And what it does is that it, because it's cutting it like every day or every other day, it's cutting off millimeters of the grass. So you never have to rake. You never have clippings. There's no reason, like the mulching and all that stuff. It just runs. And we're debuting it at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. I was at a industry conference and this guy had it there. And I said, we have to have it. So we're doing that. And then all the new lithium battery charged weed whackers
yeah.
and blowers. And they're very lightweight because they're talking about how they can make them lighter, not only for the guys, but there's more and more women are doing the yard work.
Sure. I love doing it.
And so now all of these lighter tools. And so we'll have all of that and even a battery charged lawnmower, which I use out in Michigan out there. And it's great because two things. One, it's great with the environment and the noise. You're not putting the gas out there. But I can get out and cut my grass at 7 in the morning on Sunday because it just makes like a hum noise.
And
so you don't wake up your neighbors. And then you can spend the rest of the day doing whatever you want.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
We have two pairs of tickets to give away. Tony Abbruscato, president and show director of the Chicago Chicago Flower and Garden Show. It's happening Wednesday, March 14th, so this coming Wednesday through Sunday, March 18th at Navy Pier. You can go to chicagoflower.com to find out all the details. And let's give away two pairs right now. What numbers?
Well, there's 70 varieties of tulips, so caller 7 and caller 0.
God, Bill.
Do let's, 7 and 8.
There's 26 hyacinths.
No, 7 and 8.
We have to keep the numbers low because Jasmine gets very testy.
We can do 2 and 6.
Yeah. Very testy. 7 and 8 at 312-981-7200. Be caller 7 and caller 8.
You proud of yourself?
981-7200. I just like to watch you simmer sometimes. It's like, be caller 0.
And make them tell their story. They have, please. Make them tell the flower story.
Yes,
I would love to hear it. And you told your story about having, you just missed the bus by a block and had to carry your baritone horn. Someone said, haha, I just missed the bus border and I played the French horn, strapped it to a luggage rack and pulled it 8 blocks to junior high so I could
totally
relate.
Is that my sister? My sister played French horn.
847?
Yeah, maybe it's my sister.
Could be.
It's a plant, get it?
It's like that Discover Card commercial. She doesn't know she's related to you. His voice is so familiar. Who could he be?
One of the funny things was when I got involved with the show at the very first time, WGM was out doing a live broadcast.
A remote from there,
Yeah, and Cochran was out there.
Yeah.
And it was his birthday. March 14th is his birthday. And so...
Oh, we know.
So, yeah, we all know,
we
right?
All
and
know.
So he pulls... I was flipping around the whole show, and he pulls this little kid out of the audience, and he starts talking to him, and the kid says, oh, it's my birthday, too. And he's like, oh, March 14th. We're both March 14th. And he has this whole thing, and he's like, oh, my gosh, this is the smartest kid. I love him. And he's like, so why did you come to the Flower and Garden Show? And he's like, because my uncle owns it. By random, pull my nephew out of the office.
Perfect. That's so funny.
More stories. Yeah.
All right. Well, caller 7 was Elaine from Indiana. I think Jasmine said Vermont, Indiana. Is that correct? I've never...
Dermont, Indiana.
Never heard of it. I've heard of Indiana.
Yeah.
But Elaine from Dermont, Indiana, and Lisa from Plainfield, they're going to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show and go see the president and show director, Tony Abruscato. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for our azaleas.
Oh, you bet.
Appreciate
Enjoy.
It, Tony. Great to see you.
I'm going
to
name mine Iggy.
Iggy Azalea?
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. Then some news, then more show. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
Ready and go. Do those biceps.
Do those
Do
biceps.
Do those pecs. Doesn't
yes.
it sound like we've entered
it sounds like a workout.
Yeah.
It's a workout video. Yes.
Lift those legs and move those arms and jump and down and do in there.
The star of that workout video, Kurt like. Wagner's here, TVshowpatrol.com. He has a remote and he lifts it and he presses a button and he lets it down. It's fantastic.
And that's why my gut is growing every day.
You've got a 5-pack, which you rarely see on a human, but
it's under my chin.
Didn't that sound like, remember that 7-minute workout or something that was on in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
And they'd zoom in on the girl's ass.
Yes.
I mean, it was like, can we do that?
Yeah. Well,
oh my God.
It was a big thing, Wendy. Kurt Wagner is here, TVshowpatrol.com. You know him, you love him. He knows his world of television. Kurt, what's wrong? You look confused. Everything okay?
I had the things on backwards.
Your things are on backwards.
I didn't
Let's
see
leave
that
it
on
at
the
that.
Workout.
Let's leave it at that. All right. First of all, the world has gone nuts because of the final episode of The Bachelor. You
really?
Know this, right? Yeah.
Have you watched 1 minute of
no.
that show, nor have
oh,
I?
No.
I don't watch that
I talked about this a little bit, Wendy, when you were out yesterday. I said, it's so nice because Harry Tynowitz filled in for you. And I said about Harry, I go, it was so nice to have a conversation with Harry where neither he nor I mentioned The Bachelor at all. Because for the last 4 days, no matter where you go, people go, how about this Bachelor? How about this? Do you not know,
I've totally missed this. I don't know
anything
either. About
so
this.
The guy who is The Bachelor, or was The Bachelor, Ari Leyendijk, he's a race car driver, he chose a woman to be his forever. You know,
no, for the show.
Well, yeah, but that's what they lead you to believe, that they have fallen in love with a woman, and it is a love that will last a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked her, and he said, will you marry me? And she, you know, and everybody was excited. And then he changed his mind. He said, this is like 3 or 4 weeks later, he called up the producers, and he go, I've made a horrible mistake. I really love this other woman. Can we bring everybody back and film an episode where
and reshoot it?
And I don't know that they reshot it. I think what they did is they had this epic planned, and then he said, I used to love you, but now I love you, so I'm going to marry her instead of you. And then they let the woman who got dumped, now she'll be the new bachelorette.
I think this was intentional.
Do you think it was
But don't they do this all the time?
Well,
No, what usually happens is they ride off into the sunset, and then 6 months or a year later, they go, oh, what a horrible mistake I've made. But this guy just did it sooner. But people are furious. Oh, you can't do that to us.
I bet this is the new twist, and it was intentional.
You think it is?
I don't know. I haven't watched a minute of that show.
No, me neither.
I don't watch
me
that show
neither.
Either.
Me neither.
I don't care.
All right.
And after watching that, what's that show on that sort of fictionalizes The Bachelor, and it's written by a former producer on The Bachelor?
You're the TV guy. You're supposed to know this.
Where is that show? On ABC also?
No, it's on... Oh, God, no. I'm not going to be able to think of it. I can't remember. Anyway, I've talked about it before, but yeah. I'm having a total brain fart.
That happens. So they're making fun of The Bachelor,
it's like a serious show.
Yeah.
And it's a drama, and it's written by somebody who used to be a producer on The Bachelor, and what they sort of show the behind the scenes of what happens and how the producers
manipulate
everyone and make things happen.
Yep.
And make sort of the fights happen and stuff like that.
All right, so that's what just happened.
Is it Unreal?
Yeah, Unreal.
Unreal, thanks. Jasmine with the point in. She tipped it in.
Yeah.
I wish there was another show about O.J. Simpson. Is it possible, Kurt? Will there be another show about O.J. Simpson?
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Nobody can see this, but
dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Your wish is granted.
What happened? What's O.J. Simpson going to be?
This Sunday, Fox has O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession.
Oh.
And they're presenting this very dramatically as does he confess?
But
is this
the thing that was shot years and years ago?
It was shot in 2006.
Yeah, that's
by
the thing.
Judith Reagan was the journalist.
Yeah.
She was a HarperCollins publisher, and she interviewed him, and in the interview... He does this sort of hypothetically, here's what might have happened the night of.
But he wrote a whole
book
like that.
If I Killed Her or something along those lines.
This was tied to the book. But for some reason, there was some legal shenanigans that prevented them from using the tapes.
Oh, but now it's clear.
They can.
Yeah. And I bet we'll hear this a lot.
They say they're lost tapes, but I just feel like Fox just held on to them until a perfect time when they had to make sure nobody watched something else.
Did you see the
reason? And it just so happens that the new American Idol on ABC starts Sunday at the same time as
that's
this.
That's what's going on.
And
there.
American Idol used to be on Fox.
I just saw a story a week ago that, you know who Sacha Baron Cohen is, right?
Yeah.
Borat. He's making some movie.
Very nice.
And apparently... O.J. Simpson is either going to be in the movie or they offered him a bunch of money to be in the movie and everyone's outraged. Well, you don't want a movie with O.J. Simpson in it. But I don't know if he's playing himself or he's playing a different character. I don't know. All right.
So anyway,
O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession is Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. Okay. So in this thing, they've shown clips of it. He's asked to speculate about what happened that night. And the weird thing is he often falls into the tense of, well, then I did this, and then I did that, and he mentions one of his friends.
Which one?
Some guy named Charlie, who went with him to confront Nicole Brown and handed him the knife, he says. And so there's all this weird stuff,
telling.
Which is why they're saying, is it a confession? And they have this whole panel that's coming back to talk about the tapes, including Chris Darden, who was one of the attorneys, prosecutors against him. And there's a Nicole Brown Simpson family member, an anti-domestic violence advocate, and a FBI profiler who had worked on the case, I think. So they will be analyzing the tapes as we're watching and talking about it and everything. So
I might watch it. I don't know.
He can't be, like, whatever he says in these tapes, though, they can't retry him for this.
No.
Right? Those days are over.
The double jeopardy.
Yeah,
right.
All right, Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. We've got a lot more to tell you about the world of TV. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner's here, Wendy.
How bizarre.
He's got his own website, TVShowPatrol.com, in which he discusses TV and how much you'll enjoy it when you see it.
I love TV, Kurt.
So do we all.
Kurt, there is a local actor that you would like to mention.
Yes. Corey Hardrick is from Chicago Heights, born and raised here in Chicago. And he is in this new show called The Oath, which you can stream for free on Crackle,
mm-hmm.
crackle.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it started yesterday. All the episodes are up there. It's about it's a very interesting show about cop gangs.
What are cop gangs?
Gangs
of cops
that are made of cops, and they do bad things. Like
and then who brings them to justice? Movie,
they're rogue cops.
Yeah, rogue cops. Rogue cops. And they form gangs, and this is a real thing that happens. The guy who wrote this is a former L.A. sheriff's, county sheriff's department officer, was there for 18 years, and was a member of a cop gang.
So you would be in a gang at the same time as you were a cop?
Well, the gang is cops. Cops make up the gang, yes. Oh, and they do things like in this show, it opens with a bank robbery, and it turns out to be this gang of cops.
Oh.
Yeah, and so Corey Hardrick stars in this. He's one of the members of one of the cop gangs, and it's very interesting and intense show. But I interviewed him, and he told me my favorite ever how I got into show business story.
What is his
which
story?
Is not really funny, but it's just it made me laugh. He says he grew up in Chicago Heights, and when he was I don't know like 96 maybe it was or 93 when he was 11 or 12 or 13, his mom said, you're going to audition for this Oprah Winfrey movie that's filming here.
Yeah.
Or you will get a spanking.
Oh, yeah.
So he went and his brother went and they auditioned and they both got small parts in it. And no spanking. And he said, you know, I had done little things before, like little plays and stuff, but this seeing the cameras and I saw Oprah. I didn't ever talk to her or even get close to her, but I saw her. And seeing the sets and all that stuff just made me love it.
Yeah.
And so I started to do it more. And then he was in his high school theater program and he did a bunch of bit parts on locally shot shows and things like that. And then when he was 19, moved to LA.
So to this day, when he auditions for a role and doesn't get it, does his mom give him a spanking?
I don't think so. He didn't say
not.
That.
I hope not, Kurt.
No.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah, it was my interview with him is in the Sun Times today, I think. Oh. But it's online, too, if you want to
read. All right.
Super.
Big news in the world of Star Wars for another local actor, Jon Favreau.
What?
Jon Favreau spent some time here, yeah.
I didn't know that.
No,
yeah.
I don't know what he's got to do with the Star Wars.
Oh, you're going to like this.
You
seem surprised, but it's your story, yeah.
He has agreed to executive produce and write a live-action Star Wars series for one of the Disney streaming services that's coming soon.
Wow.
He is so excited. I read an interview with him last night. This is the most excited I've ever heard
him. Yeah, because he's a big Star Wars
fan. Gigantic.
Star Wars fan, yeah.
He said when he was a kid, if somebody would have told him, you know, flash forward to this year, 2018, and you'd be writing stories for the Star Wars universe, he said, there's no way in the world I would have believed it.
And this is live action, hence
it's live
not
action.
Cartoon.
Right.
No,
I gotta
it's
get Jimmy
and so
Mack
it'll
involved.
Be some kind of
I want Jimmy
Star
Mack
Wars.
To be my Star Wars
right.
hero.
But, you know, they're finding all these different parts of that universe to go into now. So
he said as a kid, if he didn't watch a Star Wars movie, his mom would give him a spanking. there's going to be a Sopranos prequel, but this is going to be tough. Because James Gandolfini is no longer with us.
Well, it's
is
far
it way in the way in the past.
Yeah, I don't think he's even born yet. His character.
This is the prequel, right?
Yeah, prequel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But some of the other actors have already been in discussions to be in this, so I don't know how that could be.
I don't know how that could be either. Oh. It's going to be set in the '60s. The Many Saints of Newark is what it's called, and it'll feature his Tony Soprano's dad and mom.
Oh.
Played by other actors.
Oh.
Younger actors.
Yeah, because Nancy Marchand is gone.
She was so good.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah. Livy Soprano, was that her name?
Olivia?
Yeah, I think they called her Livy.
Liv.
Yeah. And it's a feature project, so it'll be in the theaters.
And it's still David Chase, the guy who put the HBO version together.
He wrote it, yeah.
Yeah.
Or co-wrote it.
Last time we had you on, Kurt, you did a new feature that people loved. Everywhere I went, people loved it.
Pick
of the week. What is pick of the week this week?
Well, I thought this week because I have to confess that I've always sort of mocked reality shows secretly. And you said, don't want to watch
those, right?
It's
ruining TV.
But, you know, I confess that for the last three
years.
I sort of have gotten into. I started watching one of the blind auditions of The Voice.
Oh my God! Just
and I started
watching.
And then last season was the first season I watched from start to finish. And then this last Monday night, I had this event and I couldn't watch and I forgot to record. And I was crushed when I got home. I was like, what am I going to do? And so thank God for Hulu the next day I was able to watch.
You caught up with it.
I've started watching The Voice. Just this is the first season ever because I love Kelly Clarkson. I love her. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I love this show. I don't know how the rules work, but I'm going to.
And even Adam Levine, who you've said horrible, horrible things about.
Maroon 5 is the worst.
That's what I mean. That sort of behavior.
Although other people don't like him either because, you know, they choose.
So good.
There's Blake Shelton, who no wonder he got Gwen Stefani. I just love him. He is the sexiest man alive. Alicia Keys, without makeup, who still looks beautiful. Kelly Clarkson, who is so animated and hysterical. And Adam Levine, who they decide, like, oh, I want to pick your contestant. I guess they're assembling a team together.
Yeah, that's how they.
And a lot of people don't want to be on Adam Levine's team.
Because why?
Because look at the competition.
So what happens is they turn, and if all four turn, they basically have to compete to get the contestant to choose them to be their coach.
So their goal is with the turning, because I didn't understand this at first either, they want to judge you strictly on your voice, not on how
you
look.
That's the voice. There's no appearance, no anything.
But then eventually,
or no age limit or
they
anything
do
like
flip
that.
Around and they look at the person.
Right. But that means they've already chosen. So if only one turns around, that person's on your team. If two turn around, then you have to try to convince the contestant
and
to
no
pick
one picks
you.
Adam Levine.
They don't?
Well, this week he had a rough week this week.
Yes. And, you know, Blake Shelton, you start thinking if you're a person who wants to achieve greatness in the musical world, it's like, okay, Kelly Clarkson's pretty popular. She'll be able to help me. Maybe my style of singing works best with Alicia Keys. Blake Shelton, if I'm into country at all, he's my man.
Your guy, yeah.
And then it's like, what is Adam Levine? If I want to wear tight jeans, I know, but still.
Rock. He loves rock too. But Blake has won the most.
He's
more,
awesome.
More contestants want
of
to be on his team
seasons,
than anybody.
He's won the most seasons.
Oh.
Adam's won some, but not as many. And Alicia won the last time she was on, which was the first time she was on.
Last season was her first
Adam
time.
Adam and Blake are on every season.
Yeah.
And then the other two seats sort of change.
Yeah. I can't believe how much I enjoy this show.
Yeah,
I watch
it well,
with
it's
Michael,
fun because their rapport is good. And each one of them sort of has a different style,
they're
I guess.
They're so funny
like,
with each
like
other.
The way they are. You know, their personalities are a bit different. And, you know, and Blake and Adam are always trying to hijack the other one and you know, get people if Adam hasn't turned but Blake and Kelly have, he always tries to get them to take Kelly instead.
And
of
did this
Blake.
Become more popular than American Idol? The Voice kind of superseded it.
And what's going to happen with the American Idol?
Yeah, that'll
back.
Be interesting to see because Idol's back Sunday night.
And then America's Got Talent is still a factor too.
That's in the summer. Yeah, but that's on NBC also, so that doesn't start until The Voice is off. The Voice is on two times a year.
And the other ones, are the other
early
ones only
fall.
On once? It seems like they're on twice. No?
America's Got Talent's just in the summer. It's a summer thing.
Oh.
And Idol is just, I think it's, now that it's on ABC, it'll be once a year.
A one-time thing.
Yeah, right. I don't think they want to oversaturate.
It's fun to watch.
But it is fun.
That's
and you know, the interesting thing, though, is that not a lot of The Voice winners have gone on and been as famous as American Idol winners.
Why is that? Is
like
there
Kelly
a
Clarkson is a... She's not even. Is she a winner? Yeah, she won the first season. Yeah.
Why is that, Kurt? Why is it American Idol that keeps producing stars and not The Voice?
I don't know.
Because more people watched it back then, and these are coaches to help you kind of figure out how to make
your
yourself,
style. Yeah. And these are people who are already somewhat accomplished singers too.
I get it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Kurt, great to see you. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. That's Kurt Wagner again. His website is TVShowPatrol.com. All your TV information is right there. We'll take a quick break, give you some news, and then Kenny Rogerson joins us. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Cam. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're 312-981-7200. Kenny Rogerson, comedian Kenny Rogerson, is sitting right over there, everybody.
He is?
Yeah, you are.
Oh,
Kenny, you are.
I
you
am.
Were sitting right... Now, can I just want to refresh everybody's memory about you and the relationship we have with you. Back when I did stand-up comedy, you were one of my favorite comedians, a guy I loved to watch.
Now I'm not? Is that what you're saying?
You're not anymore, but back then... Boy, was it fun to watch
then,
you.
Before I saw other comics, you were all right. You were just a bit of okay.
But the story I always tell about you is when I would work with you, and it was at a club called Who's On First in Elmhurst.
Yep.
When I would work with you, you would go up on stage with a bottle of something, a full bottle of some alcoholic beverage.
Yes.
That was always my favorite drink, alcohol.
Alcohol was your favorite of all the drinks. And about midway through your set, maybe 20 minutes in, 25 minutes in, that bottle was gone, and people in the audience would consistently buy you shots of other alcoholic beverages, and they were gone. By the time the show was over,
I was gone.
You and the drinks were all gone.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days. As a matter of fact, I just ran Denise Mix was the owner. She just came in to see me last night out in Rosemont.
Really?
Yeah, we sat around. She's going to come out this weekend. Good.
How did you keep getting asked back? You must have been so funny, wasted.
In those days, wasted was considered just good manners.
Yes. You're right.
Yes.
Think of it. You could go up on stage and go, I just did this, and they'd go,
right.
They'd cheer for you because you were drunk.
Right.
It's a different time.
But you have changed your evil ways.
I have changed my evil ways for the most part, as far as you know. And what do you mean by evil? Yeah, no, drugs and alcohol are off the table now. But
they're done for you.
For how long?
Oh, golly, I don't even know. I did have a run-in with Xanax about a year ago. I finally had to get off that. I got it from a doctor for sleep. But no one tells you these things are viciously. I've never had a problem with pills, and I got totally hooked on them. And I ended up checking into a rehab because I went, I got to get off this stuff. But that was 2 years. So I've been off the other stuff for coming up on 13 or 14 years now.
Congratulations.
I forget. You know what? It gets me in trouble to look like that.
Really?
I just got to go to today.
Yeah.
But did you think back then that you could ever give it up? Because I have a lot of friends who don't drink anymore and thought, you know, there's no way. I'd rather die than give this up.
Yeah, I have friends who are still on that. I have a friend of mine who's 70 who still does all the old evil. And I go, God, you know, as Chris Rock says, you don't want to be the old guy at the end of the bar. You know, I wouldn't want to be that guy.
But back then, and you probably already know this because other guys probably told you this, we would watch you and we'd all say this. That guy is so good. Think about how good he would be if he wasn't drinking.
Boy, they were judging you. Do you realize that?
That's why I drank, because I was being judged by people like
fault,
you, Bill. Yeah, thanks for that, Bill.
You're welcome.
25 years of being an addict, all because you had to judge me.
No, I get it.
You know? Couldn't you just laugh like the others?
No. It was easier to judge.
You know, now I feel like a drink. I haven't felt like a drink in so long. I'm 5 minutes on your show, and I'm ready. Who's got the Patron?
I apologize for that.
No, not at all.
But
here's the thing. I knew I was in trouble.
You did know.
I just knew I wasn't going to stop.
Was there one event, or was it a series of events? Did something happen and you go, that's my last, I can't do it anymore. That's it.
It was just, I wasn't having any fun. Same thing with cigarettes. I was doing cocaine. I was drinking, but I wasn't having any fun, but I couldn't stop doing it. I go, what's the point of this? But when you can't stop doing it and you're not having fun, then you know you got a problem.
You know what's interesting about that? I used to gamble a lot, and that's the exact reason I stopped gambling is I realized one afternoon, I go, I remember when I enjoyed this, and I don't enjoy this anymore.
Yeah, I was up in a place in Santa Barbara with my managers playing like nickel poker. And I went, this is fun for about an hour now, but when you don't drink, an hour of gambling feels like an hour of gambling. I'm going, I've just put $100 in this stupid machine. You know, I used to be when I was drinking, I go, well, I'll turn this 100 into 1,000.
Yes.
And you win 1,000. You go, well, now I'm into the big money. I'm playing with their cash.
Yes.
I'll turn this into 10 grand. And you, and then suddenly your bank machine is laughing at you because you got nothing left in it. It's melted. Your card is melted.
You have now, in the last several years, not only doing clubs, but you're doing cruise ships.
Yes, I am.
So what is that a good thing for you, or how do you deal with that?
There are parts of it that are good.
Yeah.
You know, the traveling is just awful. You know, quite frankly, I'm tired of traveling.
I mean, even though you're going to exotic locations.
Yeah, but you don't go to the exotic
locations.
And it's
work. But
here's the thing. You get off a plane in Belize, and you go to the airport. You go to the ship and get on the ship, and then you leave. So you don't hang out in Belize.
Yeah.
I mean, Cozumel is a great town because there's a little place called Chalos that all the comics go to. So I run into people I haven't seen in 20 years.
Really?
You know? And I tell you, before we were talking earlier, I ran into Tim Cavanaugh, who's a friend of mine. Larry Reeb, you know, all the Chicago guys. So you run into those guys. But mostly it's just you're in a beige, windowless room at the bottom of a ship. It's like a dorm room in a warehouse.
They give the comics the worst cabins on the entire cruise line.
On certain lines, which we cannot mention because I still need the job.
Okay.
But if you come to the show, I will. But not on,
that's how you
not
close
on
the show.
Not on the, that's how I open the show. I hit them right away. But yeah, they
doesn't seem right. I would think they'd accommodate you to do
some
that.
Some of the cruise lines do. A Royal Caribbean, I was on them. They were nicer, but some of them don't. You're just part of the crew, which is, I lose weight. I work out a lot, and I get a lot of work done. And I was just talking. Someone was just talking to Rick about John Caponeri. He goes, "Yeah, you have to write because there's nothing else to do."
Right.
You know, yeah. They don't let you gamble, which I don't care. Who wants to gamble on a ship? Mm-hmm. There's no. First of all, it's not from this country. There's no gaming commission.
Right.
At least in Vegas, they have to pay out like 94% of the time. Which, if you bet a dollar and they give you 10 cents, that's a payout. But yeah, it's something.
But on a cruise ship, one governs that.
Yeah,
so
no, it's behind
a machine
me.
could never ever pay.
Here's
off,
my
ever.
Thing. How do you play roulette on a ship that's moving up and down? How does the wheel stay? How's the wheel stay even? I've always gone, why would you play roulette? It can't possibly be any good going up and down like that with a wheel. So, yeah.
Do you hang with the people at all that come to see your shows?
Not if I don't have to. Oh. Well, because here's the thing. They're very nice. And I have met some people. I met a guy who was from Scotland who taught quantum physics in Houston. And I said, I don't know anything about it. And I didn't understand it. But I go, take 5 minutes to explain string theory to me. Because really? It's going to take more than five minutes. Yeah, take 5 minutes. Which he thought was funny. So it was fun talking with him and just asking him questions, probably stupid questions to him because he's got a brain like 10 times my size. That was fun.
It's refreshing to get normal questions once in a while, I'm
Maybe.
Sure.
I guess. I hope so because he wasn't going to get anything Stephen Hawking like out of this brain. You know, there's no Einstein in this brain. You
know? Kenny Rogerson is here. He's at Zanies all this week. All the information is at zanies.com. Stay here. We've got more show planned for you. It's Bill and Wendy along with Kenny Rogerson on WGN.
Oprah.
I think it's Oprah, but it could be Oprah Wendy. She's publicizing a movie. You never know. Kenny Rogerson is here. He's performing.
Everyone's come down saying Kenny Rogers is here. Do you know that?
Kenny Rogers is not here. Gambler?
Gambler or... Yeah.
You are not Kenny Rogers, but you are obviously his son.
I am his son. That is correct. Kenny, I wanted to do... My friend tried to get me a job opening for him in Vegas. Kenny Rogers and Kenny Rogerson. Would have been so cool.
You know, there was a comic that I worked with once in Florida, and his whole claim to fame was that he looked just like Kenny Rogers, and most of his act was about what it's like to get through life looking like Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
Well, I go back to when it was with the first edition, so I remember
he
was a rock and roller.
Early Kenny Rogers.
Oh, yeah, I'm old.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Yeah. What is the difference, and you would know this well because you did a lot of time doing stand-up here, but you also did a lot of time doing stand-up in Boston.
Right.
You've noticed this, I'm sure you have, that there's a complexion, there's a certain attitude that the comedy in various cities have. What do you think brings that on?
I don't know. Boston, they talk faster than here.
They do, don't
but the
they?
Comics, I have the luck of being on the ground floor of this comedy scene and the Boston comedy scene. So I got to hang out with all the guys that built this whole thing.
Yeah.
They built the Boston one. I think the attitude, there's not much difference between John Caponeri and a lot of guys in Boston. We all have the same attitude. I think they just talk faster in Boston. And it's just, they all have their own style, I think, is what the cool part about Chicago is. I mean, Reeb, Caponeri, Tim Cavanaugh, Ed Field, I could go on forever.
Yeah.
The same thing in Boston. All the guys had their own weird personalities.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But then once you establish that, when you're doing comedy in a city and you establish that, and then you go on the road and you realize, boy, it's strange. Things that work in Chicago don't work in Dallas. And things
sometimes, but not always. Sometimes, but I think the attitude in Boston is a little... I think people in Chicago, I'm sorry, but they're much nicer than most parts of the country. I mean that sincerely. I remember being out for a run one time, Michigan Ave, and six people said good morning to me, and I thought, oh, that's the difference. It's a big city with small town manners.
Yeah.
In Boston, they say good morning, you're thinking, oh, what do you want? What does that mean? What, is that code for, I have no money. That's what you say. Good morning, Juju, I have no money. I have nothing. So it's a little bit rougher town, I think, as far as surliness is Boston. A little more.
Yeah.
But Chicago's just a different, Midwest is a different attitude than the East Coast, you know.
I'm sure.
The comics are, I find comedy's the same wherever you go now, because we're all so connected to the internet and television.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, so nothing really is too different.
When I used to watch you work and judge you, you weren't very political.
No.
But now the climate is almost such that you almost have to address it, don't you? Or do you leave it alone? You leave it alone?
I don't, because you know what? There are people out there that do it way better than I'll ever do. I get too angry. I can't make it funny. Because they just irritate me, all of them.
Yeah.
All of them irritate me.
Yeah.
You know, Washington is nothing more than just a slag heap of horror to me on both sides of the aisle. I don't have a love on either side of the aisle. I'll be honest with you. I don't trust any of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm more left center than I am to the right. But I can't. And there are people out there, like my friend Barry Crimmins just passed away.
Yeah.
He was good at it. Louis Black is great at
it.
Yeah.
Nick DiPaolo, if you want to see somebody on the right, he's wrong, but he's wickedly funny, man. He's angry, but he makes me laugh. So, You know,
and that's
way.
All that matters to me, quite honestly.
Yeah, and I don't, like I say, it's, first of all, it's way more work. You have to study that every day if you want to keep up with it. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I can talk, golf hasn't changed in 100 years. I can still do 10 minutes on that. Death is the same. Drinking is the same. But political, you've got to really stay on the ball and work at that.
Kenny, you know what's
far
strange?
Too lazy.
Two of the guys that are the best at it, in my opinion anyway, are Jon Stewart and Bill Maher. And when I used to do stand-up with them, neither of them did hardly any political material at all.
Right.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
So as time went on,
everybody
they realized,
starts out and finds their voice. You know, mine's always just been crazy stuff and whatever pops into my twisted brain.
Yeah.
Some of those guys are smart.
Yeah. Wendy, you found a movie reference with Kenny that I had no idea was in.
The Something About Mary.
You're in Something About Mary?
Well, yes, I had one line in that movie. Believe me, I fought for. I was in the. Do you remember when Ben Stiller picks up the Harlan Williams? He's the hitchhiker. He's
in the park?
When they stop to go to the bathroom and he falls.
Yes.
And you hear a guy go, hey, wait your turn.
Yes.
And then the lights come on and Ben Stiller's head is right at crotch level. I'm wearing red bikini underwear.
That's you.
That's me. I was about 30 pounds
heavier.
That's
fantastic.
Yes, yes. Then, by the way, pivotal scene in that film. It could not have continued if I had not carried them on to the next part of the movie.
Yeah, that's so true.
Someone said, what'd you get, like 10 grand for that? I go, I had to fly myself to Miami, and I got paid. I got $500 before taxes, and I get to Miami on my own.
But don't you think that's one of, in my opinion, one of the funniest movies of the last 25 years?
I read the script and I laughed out loud.
Yeah,
the scene with the dog where he's shocking the dog.
So funny.
I mean, I was reading that on the plane, laughing out loud, going, "God, I wish I had a bigger part in this."
That's the Farrelly brothers.
Yeah,
that?
Yeah.
That was
I did
funny.
Another movie with them. I did Fever Pitch. I played a scalper. I sell Drew Barrymore tickets near the end. It's a Red Sox Yankee thing.
Oh, with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. I was in that. I played the scalper. I sell her tickets outside Fenway Park. So I worked with Drew Barrymore, which is, you know.
That movie made a good point of showing sports fans, because there's a scene where they're both tremendous Boston Red Sox fans,
right.
And the Red Sox just lose a pivotal game, and then they run into some of the players in a restaurant, and those guys are having a good time. They've already forgotten the game, even though fans are angry.
Yeah.
And I think most sports fans can identify with that.
I don't understand it. Here's the thing. I root for the Red Sox. I only follow football now because I don't have time to keep up with all of this. Baseball's too long for me. And
slow.
But yeah.
It is.
I know. It's great at the park, but watching on TV, please shut up. You know what I used to love about Jack Brickhouse? When there was nothing to say, he didn't say anything.
Right.
You know, I don't care what you had for dinner, who made your shirt. Just shut up and call the game. But I don't get it. If they lose, they lose. You know? I mean, someone said to me, did you mind when the Patriots lost year? I go, no, they won the year before.
Yeah.
It's fascist. No one should win every year. That's just wrong. I go, so why am I? Let me tell you something. I'm on the cruise ship, but I have a bad show. Tom Brady never calls me.
Never.
So why should I be upset because he lost the Super Bowl? Oh, no. He only has 5 rings and a supermodel wife and $1 billion. Oh, I feel so bad that those. It's like baseball with the Yankees and the Red Sox. I go, yeah, they're 9 millionaires beat our 9 millionaires.
Yeah.
Today.
I know.
You know, that's all it means to me. And we won the pennant, and Johnny Damon was on the Yankees and won the World Series. Johnny Damon went to the Yankees the next season.
Right.
So, come on. Let's not get too excited about it.
I like baseball here. First of all, I like the White Sox, and second of all, because it makes me think summer's on their way.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
If the Cubs, when they won the first time, if they were playing the Red Sox, I'd have rooted for the Cubs.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is my
just because we had never experienced
that's
it.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I'm with you on that.
I couldn't wait for the Cavaliers to win.
Yeah.
If they were playing the Celtics, I'd have rooted for the Cavaliers. I'm all about being fair and let everybody have a piece.
That's exactly why I didn't want the Cubs to win 2 in a row.
Because
they already got
one.
Time for the White Sox again.
When's the last time the White Sox won one?
2005.
Oh, that's right. So they
not that long.
That's not a drought,
right?
No,
it's water
time.
Level's gone down in your pool, but it's not. You can
we'll
still
just
swim.
Pee in it and bring up the level a little bit.
Well, if White Sox fans are like they used to be,
what else?
Pool full of Strohs, anyone?
What else do you have coming up, Kenny? Besides the Week at Zanies,
and then I'm back out on the ships.
On the road.
Yeah, I did a weekend. Yeah, I've just been traveling, doing back on the road.
But you're still liking it. It's still fun for you.
At times, yeah. It's more of a grind now because the traveling is more intense. And that used to be the fun part. When I drank, the days flew by.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They're a lot longer than I recall.
Yes, they are.
Has it always been light this long? Seriously.
24 hours a day?
I used to wake up and an hour later it was dark, and I thought, how do they build all this stuff in only an hour a day? Like, what an industrious people we are.
So true. Kenny Rogerson, go see
great
him
to
at
see
Zanies.
You
want to go to tonight, and then I'll be downtown tomorrow night.
Right.
Busy.
And in town through Tuesday, though,
through
right?
Through Tuesday, yeah. Yep. Three tomorrow night downtown, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Zanies.com has all your ticket information. And if people want to follow you on Twitter, it's your name. It's at Kenny Rogerson.
Sure, if you can find a Twitter. I don't know. I don't follow my own career. I don't know. I think I tweeted one time, and someone replied wrong. I went, I'm not doing
it. I'm done.
Again.
I'm out of it.
Yeah, I'm not a social media guy. So
thank you, Kenny. Great
thanks,
to see you.
It's always fun to do the show, you guys.
Excellent.
You're the best.
You're very kind. All right, we'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.